Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, I'm joined in studio by John G. O'Dwyer, whose latest book is called 50 Best Irish Walks. It's available everywhere nationwide. John, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Great for the invite. Come on, thank you.
Now, you're also working on another book, which will come out in time. But this is what we're doing this morning is a bit of a precursor to that publication.
I think there's a story with every walk, and you've got to look for the story, and that's what's interesting. So what I'm bringing out again with Corrock, and it's walking with stories. Now, probably won't come out until June, so a lot of the time, you know, the funny thing is they think it's all glamorous and you're out walking all the time, but when you're writing a book, you spend an awful lot of time locked away on your own. So I kind of enjoyed it. I go into my own world, but there's a good lot of work involved.
Okay, you know, now, Pat. I'll mention the walk, and then you tell me what the story is that's attached. Lube na Killa in County Kerry.
Oh, yeah, get down to Kerry if if you are down there going to Dingle, go out to Lube na Killa. It's beautiful. Now, I'm sure you've been there, Pat. You know this view out to the Blasket Islands? It is so evocative, such an evocative view there. But Lube na Killa, beautiful, 4 kilometre walk right out on the end of the Dingle Peninsula, and you can take the family around it and they won't be saying this is too hard. It starts from the Blasket Centre. But the great thing about it is you're going to the store of where the movie Ryan's Daughter was made. And that is so transformative, I think, for the area. The idea, Dingle was a backwater then, and suddenly David Lean comes in, and he comes with he was the biggest name in film production in the world, and he comes in with a $13 million budget to make a movie there.
I mean, this was Lawrence of Arabia, this was Dr. Zhivago, this was a big deal director.
Biggest one, and he came in there to make it, and he had such power. He just said to Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, we need to build an Irish village. You know, and they built an Irish village there.
And that stood for how long?
It stood for while making the movie. I think you might have heard the story of that. And then it was offered to the, I think, Kerry County Council and to Bord Fáilte then to continue on as an attraction. What a missed opportunity. Because it was very, very well built. It was built by the locals. It was very well built. It was built to last. And they just pulled it down. Uh-huh. But we'll be walking through that area. But one thing is the schoolhouse. That's still there. The ruin of the schoolhouse is still there. And this is, and you, all the scenery. And of course, the great thing about that was the cinematography. But it nearly destroyed David Lean. Do you know that?
Why?
Because it was badly reviewed. It was the first film he had that was badly reviewed. He never made a film for another 14 years. And then he made a great success, Passage to India. So there you are. It didn't work out for him.
Let's move on to the Devil's Bit Loop in County Tipperary. And what's the story there?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stories there. So I could go on to the trite one. The devil came along, of course, being chased out of Ireland by St. Patrick. Didn't like the idea, so took a bite and spat it out to form the Rock of Cashel. Spoilsport that I am, of course, I'll say, well, the Devil's Bit is sandstone and the Rock of Cashel is limestone. But the really good story is Woodcock Carden. And, you know, you'll be fascinated to know why was he called Woodcock. And the reason he was called Woodcock was zigzags in flight. They're very hard to shoot. And he was a landlord that was hated. Everybody wanted to shoot him. Loads of people tried and they never succeeded. But then when he was in his 40s, he fell in love with this one, Eleanor Arbuthnot, and he decided that he wanted to marry her. But his feelings were not reciprocated.
So he stalked her.
He stalked her. He was a 19th century stalker. Not only that, he decided then the family were getting in the way. They didn't want her. He decided to kidnap her. So he went down. But her mother-in-law, his likely mother-in-law was there. She got out the walking cane, bashed him over the head. And even though he was part of the aristocracy, he was arrested. And then they kind of said, well, you know, we don't want to put him in jail. Look, just say you won't stalk her anymore. He wouldn't do that. And he did two years in jail. It's almost, it's pathetic to be in love that much, isn't it? And then when he came out, what did he start doing? Stalked her again and she had to leave the country. But then he went up for some strange reason, up on Devil's Bit, and built a huge tower that's still there. And of course, you know, the locals say, of course they'd say, it's the Taj Mahal, it's a monument to love. But he never wrote that down, but he went and built this tower.
She wasn't detained in there unknowingly. Yeah, just, you said she left.
He would have had, in fact. He had it all worked out. A boat then to take him off to Scotland. Fantastic story. The Carden family, the landowning family.
Tell me about the Causeway Walk in County Antrim.
I'm sure you've been up there, Pat.
I have indeed.
I think it's one of the most evocative coastlines. It's a beautiful coastline in itself, and then you're looking out to Rathlin Island, and then you're looking out to Scotland. And of course, you can tell young people as well what's the causeway there. The story is, of course, that Fionn MacCool built it to go across and fight the big giant over in Scotland. That's the story there. But there's a much sadder story as well as that. And you can walk, it's a lovely walk of about 5 kilometres. You can walk to the causeway, go up the Shepherd's Steps, and then go along the cliffs, and you will go to a place called Port Naspaunee. And it's a very sad place.
Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
Go back to the Spanish Armada, were defeated by the British. And once they were defeated, their ships were too big and awkward anyway to fight the British. They couldn't go back through the Channel, so they had to go around Scotland and Ireland. And of course, they ran into terrible storms. One was the Girona, a huge ship with 500 people on board. And she was damaged and she came into Killybegs. That was fine. The O'Dohertys were there, the O'Donnells were there. They liked the Catholic Spain. So she was repaired there. And then what happened was two other ships were smashed to matchwood on the Donegal coastline, but the people got ashore. 800 people made their way to Killybegs and got on the Girona, and she was going to go back then to refit in Scotland, which is an independent country. Going along the north of the country, her rudder broke, and as luck would have it, a northerly storm, and it started blowing them in. And the only thing was that could they get around Fairhead? That was the idea. Could they and run down the Irish Sea? They failed to make it, and they smashed up on the shore there, and it's still called Port Naspaunee there. And they say on winter's nights, of course, the local people will say you can hear the screams of those who passed away in October 1588.
Let's pop down now to Tip again and Liam Lynch Loop.
Yeah, I think that's a very good one because it's a lovely walk. You can do a Dereham walk, back walk of about 6 kilometres. But it introduces to young people the idea of the Irish Civil War. And of course, there was a guy there who led the Republican side. He was Liam Lynch. But by 1923, they were losing the war badly. And there was pressure on to stop it and call a ceasefire. Nobody knows what would have happened. But the meeting was called down for Gorton Bridge. But anyway, the house he was staying in, the Free State soldiers decked it. They were approaching in the morning. So Liam Lynch, who was the chief of staff of the IRA at that particular time, the Republicans, he escaped up a stream bed. But of course, when you go high up on a mountain, the streams disappear. Yeah. And he suddenly had to go out on open mountain and he was shot dead. And that then there's a huge monument later on then when De Valera came to power and he was working well with the Republicans, a huge monument was built there. But kids will love going up to see that story. And that ended the Civil War soon after Frank Aitken and De Valera said.
Now, there's another great yarn attached to our next walk, which is the Congwood Loop in County Mayo.
Yeah, well, the first one I say is it's a beautiful walk of about 7 kilometres. Of course, you'll know it. I'm sure, unlike me, Pat, you have up there in Ashford Castle. You might have spent a night or two there.
Literally that, a night.
A night or two. Well, that's it. Well, I managed to hoodwink him to get in for afternoon tea there once. But it's a beautiful walk, and the kids will love it because there's an easy-to-access cave, the Pigeonhole Cave along there. And the great thing you can tell them about the magical trout that's down there that cannot be caught and goes from one lake to the other. And it's a supposed to be another poor lady who lost out in love and was turned into a fish. But the great, great story there, of course, is, and again, transformed. Go back to the 50s. This idea in the backwater, all these Hollywood stars coming in, John Wayne, Maureen O'Hara.
This is The Quiet Man.
Yeah. That film, though, almost wasn't made. You know that? Even John Ford, big and all as he was, he found it very, very hard to get anybody, and it's only Republican films who took it on in the end. And the reason is, I think, it works now. But if you read that as a script, it looks like real, this is the worst of stage Irishness. But I think how it worked was the actors played it just, they overacted a little bit just to say, not really 100% believe in this. This is great. It's a kind of a visualization of an Ireland that maybe never was. And that's what they say. These are the stories that John Ford was told by his...
Because he was of Irish descent.
And he was.
He wore it very much on his sleeve as well.
He had a huge ambition, but he was turned down. To make a film in Ireland, remember, in those days, most films were made on sound stages. It was hugely expensive, and the moguls felt they lost control of the situation when they went to places like Ireland. They didn't know what the director was doing with their money. So, but to get to Ireland was a huge thing, but he only barely made it. But the film, of course, has been renowned.
Now, to County Cork and Guggan Barra.
Yeah, I love it. I don't know now. You mightn't have been there, Pat, but it's a really out of the way. What I love about it is, you know, we say Killarney is nice, but it has conceded to mass tourism. This hasn't. So, and we're talking then about we're talking about the War of Independence and Tom Barry, the famous leader. And in 19, he was such a pain in the neck for the British, they decided in 1921, you know, they would get rid of him after Kilmichael and all of that. So they put 10,000 soldiers into Cork, completely encircled Cork, and to move in from all sides. And he got trapped down in the Barlan Valley in West Cork. But he was very canny, and he knew if he could get across the Sheehy Mountains and get down cliffs into Guggan Barra, his 100 men, that was the only salvation. So they got every piece of rope in the valley from every horse in the valley and went across the Sheehy Mountains. But then they had to come to an area, 600 foot cliffs to get down there. There was a gully, which would make it a little bit easier, still very difficult. But using the ropes and even sometimes hanging off their rifles, they managed to make it down. And once they were there, then they were outside the British
Park. Any losses along the way?
What?
Any losses?
No, absolutely. He was renowned for that, for having said, nobody even got even scratched. Nobody got injured. And then, of course, West Cork was highly Republican. They got into Cronin's Hotel, which is still there. And of course, the Cronins were delighted. And then, of course, we must recognise, Cumann and the Mon were there. The role they played, and they fed all the men. So, and the following day, then Barry let his men out of there, and he had hoodwinked the British. The Scarlet Pimpernel had escaped again.
Now, our final one this morning is Cave Hill in County Antrim.
Yeah, Cave Hill. I don't know if you're ever up in Belfast, Pat, but if you look up at Cave Hill, it has the aspect of a sleeping giant. And they say that Dean Swift was up there, he saw that, and with kind of poetic imagination, he imagined Gulliver's Travels. But the great story there, of course, is the United Irishmen were formed up there, and initially they were only a reforming group, but then they were driven underground and they became radical. And coming together then was Henry J. McCracken, Wolfe Tone and Thomas Russell. And they swore an oath up there in 1975 that they would never desist from their efforts until British rule over their country had been subverted. And that was the first time. Up to that, there was various revolutions against England and that, but it was who would rule England, who would be the king. This was the first vision of an independent Irish Republic. They didn't succeed at that stage. It was modelled on, of course, France and America. They didn't succeed, but that's where the birth of the whole idea of republicanism came.
And from Belfast Castle, there and back walk to McGarth's Fort takes about 1.5 hours.
Yeah, about 1.5 hours. And I'd say anyone should do it. In fact, I recommend if you're up there, Pat, you should do it, because the views over Belfast, they are unmatched. And you get the Moran Mountains up to Antrim, but on a clear day, go up on a clear day, the Isle of Man and the Scottish Mountains are there as well. Unforgettable.
Fantastic. John, you are an entertainment.
Yeah, we do our best anyway. Yeah. We're both trying to entertain, haven't we?
The latest edition of John G. O'Dwyer's book entitled 50 Best Irish Walks is out now from the publishers Curragh Books and available in good bookshops everywhere. John G. O'Dwyer, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hi. Anton Savage here from News Talk.
Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.